Have you ever like felt this urge to really get something, you know? Like not just scratch the surface, but dive deep.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all about that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we're going for here, you
Yeah.
know? Like taking a topic that might seem a little, I don't know, old-fashioned maybe, and really getting into it.
Right.
So today, we're going deep on hospitality.
Ooh, interesting.
But hold on. This isn't about like perfectly arranged snacks or being some kind of Martha Stewart as a...
Definitely not.
No. We're talking about something way more basic and honestly much more
I
powerful.
like it. Basic but powerful.
Right. So to guide us, we've got this great sermon from Mercy Hill Church based on 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 7 through 11.
Oh, and they've got some excellent slides that go with it too, by the way.
Oh.
Super helpful for understanding the context.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So our mission here basically is to unpack this whole idea of hospitality, the biblical concept, and then like see how it actually works in, you know, your life, my life, everyday stuff.
Totally. Make
Okay?
it practical.
Exactly. Now this sermon was actually part of a series they were doing called One Anothering.
I love that title.
Yeah, it's catchy, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's all about those instructions we find all over the New Testament, you know, about how we're supposed to interact as like a community of believers.
Yeah, how we treat each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Loving each other, encouraging each other, and yep, you guessed it, showing hospitality to each other.
It's amazing though, right? Like these ideas seem so simple on the surface, but when you dig in, they're actually super profound.
Oh, for sure. It's like that with so much in the Bible, you know. It's like, okay, yeah, love each other, sure. But what does that actually look
Right.
like?
What does that mean when you're like actually living it out?
Exactly, yeah.
It's a good example of that though.
Yeah.
And this might sound random, but think about Starbucks.
Okay, Starbucks.
So back in March 1971, they were just this one little shop in Seattle.
One little shop, huh?
It's just one.
Yeah.
But this month, March 2025, they've hit over 40,000 locations worldwide.
Wow, over 40,000? That's kind of
It's
mind-blowing. And it
huge.
makes you wonder, like, what's the secret sauce, right? What's
Yeah.
driving the kind of growth?
Totally. Can't just be the coffee, right?
Yeah, I mean, the coffee's good, but come on.
Right. There's got to be more to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, their own research actually backs this up. They found that what people are really drawn to is that sense of community, that feeling of a cozy social atmosphere. Like they're not just selling coffee, they're selling an experience.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the author, Tim Chester, in his book, A Meal with Jesus, he actually argues that what Starbucks is really selling is hospitality. They've tapped into this deep human need for connection, for belonging.
It makes you think, huh? Like even a secular business. I mean, come on, it's Starbucks, right?
Right.
They're thriving because they figured out how to create this welcoming atmosphere. So like imagine the impact we could have if we, you know, if our hospitality was rooted in something even deeper, something like God's love.
That's powerful.
Right. So I guess the question for you listening is, when you hear the word hospitality, what pops into your head?
Yeah, what's your gut reaction?
Do you picture like fancy dinner parties, you know?
Perfectly set tables, right?
Yeah, like the whole nine yards. Because the way the Bible talks about hospitality, it might actually surprise you how simple it really is.
It's more about the heart, totally.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty here. We're looking at what the Apostle Peter has to say in 1 Peter 4:7-11.
A little background on Peter, though, for those who might not be familiar.
Right.
He was one of Jesus's closest disciples, part of that inner circle.
Yeah, like super tight with Jesus.
Right. But he also, you know, kind of messed up big time. He actually denied even knowing Jesus
Look.
like three times right before the crucifixion.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
But the amazing thing is, after the resurrection, Jesus sought him out, you know, like forgave him, restored him, and gave him this incredible mission: feed my sheep.
Wow, that's powerful.
It is. And this letter we're looking at, this is Peter, you know, doing just that, guiding the early believers, feeding them with truth and encouragement.
I like that, feeding them.
Yeah.
Okay, so to really understand Peter's take on hospitality, it helps to go back a bit in his letter, like to chapter 1, verses 3 through 9.
Yeah, it lays the groundwork.
Right. So here he's reminding these early Christians about some pretty core stuff, like their new birth, their new life in Christ, the hope they have because of Jesus's resurrection, and this incredible inheritance that's waiting for them.
An inheritance that's like imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept safe in heaven.
Yeah, wow. It's not like, some earthly inheritance that can like rust or decay. This is the real deal.
The ultimate
Sure.
inheritance. But he also talks about trials, right? Like
Huh.
they're going through tough times because of their faith, but he emphasizes that these challenges have a purpose.
Like they're not just random suffering.
Right. He says they're meant to refine their faith, prove its genuineness, which is more precious than gold.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then he says something so beautiful. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Like they hadn't physically seen Jesus, but their faith, based on what they'd heard and experienced, had ignited this deep love for him.
That's powerful.
It is.
And it kind of gets back to that idea we were talking about earlier, like what does it actually mean to love someone? It's
Exactly.
not just a feeling. It's something deeper, something that can exist even when you haven't like literally seen the person.
It's based on trust, belief, commitment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a bit later in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he talks about their redemption, how they were bought with a price, but not just any price, right?
Yeah, and then like money or something.
No, with the precious blood of Christ, the spotless lamb.
Wow.
And again, in chapter 3, verse 18, he reminds them that Christ suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. This is huge. It's the foundation for everything else he teaches about Christian living.
Okay, so this foundation, this understanding of who Jesus is and what he did, it's like the starting point.
Right, it's everything.
Okay, got it.
Now, it's super important to remember the situation Peter was writing into, though. Like these early Christians, they were facing some serious hostility because of their faith. It was a dangerous time to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, we complain about people like unfriending us on social media, but these guys were facing like real
A
persecution.
wholly different level. So, compared to many of us today, their circumstances were way more challenging. But what's interesting is that Peter's instructions, even though they were given in this context of real adversity, they're still meant to shape how we live today.
Okay, so even though our lives might be easier in some ways, we can still learn from what Peter was telling them.
Absolutely. And that actually makes his instruction in 1 Peter 4:7 even more significant.
Which is?
Well, he says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers."
Hmm.
Now, this wasn't necessarily a prediction that the world was going to end like tomorrow,
Right.
but it was this recognition that with Christ coming, everything had changed. The decisive final chapter of God's plan had begun. And thinking about life with this eternal perspective, it changes how we view everything, including, hospitality.
Oh, I see. So it's like if we really believe that this life isn't all there is, that eternity is coming, then those opportunities to show love and welcome, they become even more important.
Exactly. Like they have eternal significance.
That's cool. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And this understanding, it should bring a sense of urgency and intentionality to how believers live.
Okay, so it's not just about like being nice when it's convenient. It's about making a conscious effort to live in light of eternity.
Right.
Got it. So then what does he say next?
Well, verse 8 is super important. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Earnestly, huh? It's not just casual, like, oh yeah, I love you, man.
Right, exactly. He's talking about something much deeper, much more intentional.
I like that.
And the sermon we listened to, they actually connected this back to Luke 22:44. Do you remember that scene where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Yeah, vaguely.
Well, he's in agony, right? Like facing the cross. And it says that he prayed more earnestly, so intensely, that his sweat became like drops of blood.
Wow, that's intense.
It is. And the point is, biblical love, the kind of love that should drive our hospitality, it's not lukewarm. It's wholehearted. It's intense, like Jesus's prayer in his deepest distress.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this goes way beyond just like inviting someone over for dinner.
Right. It's about a posture of the heart, a willingness to go all in for others.
Got it. So what does he say after that?
Well, and this is what's so striking. Right after that call to earnest love, he says in verse 9, show hospitality to one another. It's like, boom, there it is. This intense love, it's not just a feeling. It has to show itself in practical ways. And Peter highlights hospitality as a key expression of that love.
Interesting how he connects those two things so directly.
Right. It's like love isn't just some vague emotion, it's something you do. And hospitality is one of the ways we live it out.
Yeah, and it's not just Peter who talks about this, right? Like Paul says something similar in Romans, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. In Romans 12:1, 10 and 13, he says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality.
Seek to show hospitality, huh? That's active, it's not passive.
Right, it's something we pursue. Different translations emphasize this in different ways.
Oh, how so?
Well, like, the Christian Standard Bible says pursue hospitality, the New International Version says practice hospitality, and the New Living Translation says always eager to show hospitality.
So it's not about waiting for the perfect opportunity or feeling like you have to be the perfect host.
Nope. It's about making a conscious effort, being intentional about creating space for others.
I like that.
Yeah, and there's this great quote from Alexander Strouch in his book, The Hospitality Command, where he says, there is nothing in this world like self-sacrificing genuine Christian love to encourage, inspire, comfort, and build others up. But how, in practical, down-to-earth terms, do we show more genuine Christian love and community? One clear answer is hospitality.
Wow, that's a good one. He's really tying that command to love, which can feel kind of abstract, to this concrete action of opening our lives to others.
Exactly. It's not just about warm, fuzzy feelings. It's about putting that love into action.
Makes sense. So back to Peter, what does he say next?
Well, in verse 9, he adds this little caveat. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Without grumbling, huh? So even back then, people were probably making excuses, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's human nature, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're busy or tired. It's easy to feel put out when someone needs something from you.
Yeah, totally. Like, I know I've been there.
But Peter's addressing that head on. He's saying, yeah, it might be inconvenient, you might not feel like it, but do it anyway. And do it with a joyful heart.
That's convicting.
It is. It makes you think about all the reasons we come up with to avoid opening our homes and lives to others.
Yeah, for sure. All those excuses we make.
And it raises the question, do we see hospitality as like an optional extra in the Christian life, or is it actually something more fundamental?
That's a good question.
It is. And then in verse 10, Peter shifts gears a bit and says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.
So he's saying everyone has something to contribute, right? Even if you don't feel like you're the, you know, the hostess with the mostest.
Exactly. It's not just about those who are naturally gifted at, like, cooking or entertaining. He's saying each has received a gift. And whatever that gift is, we should use it to serve others.
That's encouraging, you know? It takes the pressure off.
It does. And he actually gives some examples in the next verse, verse 11. He talks about speaking God's messages and serving with God's strength.
So, like, it doesn't have to be about food or hosting a party. It can be about using your words, your talents, your time to bless others.
Exactly. Whatever you're good at, whatever you're passionate about, it can be used to show hospitality.
That's cool.
And then he wraps it up with purpose behind all of this. The last part of verse 11 says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
So it's not about us, it's about God. It's about pointing people back to him.
Exactly. It's about reflecting his love and grace in everything we do, including how we show hospitality.
Okay, so to recap, what we're seeing here is that showing hospitality, it's not just a nice thing to do, it's a fundamental way to love each other.
And it flows directly from our experience of God's hospitality towards us. You know, like, he welcomed us, he showed us grace, and that should naturally overflow into how we treat others.
It's like paying it forward, but with like a cosmic twist.
Right, exactly.
So it's not about earning God's love, it's about responding to it.
Exactly.
And as we've seen, it's not really optional. Like Romans 12.13 tells us to seek to show hospitality, and Hebrews 13.2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality. It's a command, not a suggestion.
Right.
And there's this theologian, Carl F. H. Henry, who put it really well. Christian hospitality is a matter of obedience to God.
That's a powerful statement.
It is. Now, to be fair, the sermon did acknowledge that there are seasons in life where extending hospitality might be genuinely difficult. Like if you've just had a baby or you're going through a really stressful time.
Yeah, of course. Life happens.
But the general calling, the overall principle, it still stands.
Yeah, it does.
And Strouch, he says that hospitality is essential for fanning the flames of love and strengthening the Christian family. And by family, he means the church community.
Yeah, it's about taking that abstract concept of love and making it concrete.
Right, like getting down to the nitty-gritty of sharing our resources, our homes, our lives with each other. So the question for you listening is, what do you think might be holding you back from being more hospitable?
Yeah, what are those barriers, those excuses we make?
Is it time? Is it feeling like your house isn't perfect? Or maybe just not knowing where to start.
All valid concerns, but maybe we need to redefine what hospitality actually means.
No, how so?
Well, I think our culture, especially with social media and everything, it's created this image of hospitality that's all about perfection, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like, everything has to be Instagram worthy.
Exactly. But true biblical hospitality is much simpler than that and much more profound.
So what does it actually look like then?
Well, the book, A Meal with Jesus, it breaks it down into these five elements. Welcoming, creating space, listening, paying attention, and providing.
Notice how it's not about the food or the decorations or being the perfect host.
Right. It's about the connection, the relationship. It's about being present with the person in front of you.
And the sermon made a great point about how meals, you know, sharing a meal together, it has this unique way of slowing things down.
You know, in our busy go, go, go world, it forces us to stop, to sit down, to focus on each other.
And even though, like, meals are a big part of hospitality, they're not the only way to do it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It can be as simple as inviting someone for coffee, going for a walk, doing an activity to get anything that creates space for connection.
And the goal isn't to impress, it's to bless, right?
Exactly. So even if all you can offer is something simple, like, I don't know, hot dogs and chips, it's better than nothing.
Way better than nothing. It's the thought that counts, right?
Certainly.
And like someone said, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like you might not be able to host a huge dinner party, but you can definitely grab coffee with one friend.
Exactly. Small steps.
And it all comes back to that posture of the heart, you know? Like, are you welcoming? Are you open to extending the same kind of welcome that Christ has shown you?
That's the key. And, you know, to make this more practical, the sermon suggested setting a goal. Like, maybe challenge yourself to show hospitality once a month or even once a week.
Just make it a habit.
Exactly.
Oh, and they had this great illustration about the Grinch.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Remember how his heart was two sizes too small?
Yep. Classic.
But after he showed kindness, you know, returned all the Who's presents, his heart grew three sizes that day.
Oh, such a cute story.
It is. But it's also a great reminder that when we show hospitality, when we extend ourselves to others, it actually expands our capacity to love.
Our hearts grow.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder, what if we all, like, intentionally practiced hospitality more? What if we made it a priority?
What if our churches, our communities were known for their radical welcome?
And on the flip side, what if we neglect it? What are we missing out on?
Both personally and as a community.
That's a good question.
It is. And, you know, ultimately, this isn't just about individual acts of kindness. It's about something bigger. When Christians, when any community really actively practices hospitality, it becomes a powerful witness to the world. It's a way of showing God's love in action.
It's like missional living, right?
Exactly.
So to wrap things up, the main takeaway here is that showing hospitality, it's not just a nice gesture. It's a fundamental expression of love. And it's something that can actually help us grow in love.
It's a beautiful cycle.
So in light of all this, I want you to consider this as you go about your week. How might you actively embrace hospitality in your own life? What are some concrete opportunities you can see?
Don't overthink it. That doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, keep it simple. Remember that coffee date, that walk in the park? Those small gestures can make a big difference.
And who knows? Maybe your heart will grow three sizes too.
I like that. Go for it.